All right, the Dead Milkman, and now I'm gonna play the interview from a couple days ago. So right before they were practicing and whatnot. So yeah, you're tuned to WKDU Philadelphia 91.7 FM.
Now.
Love that.
All right, so
sorry, I'm playing around.
We're here in an undisclosed location in Maniunk with the Dead Milkmen. Everyone want to sound off and listen?
Yeah, I want to sound off, but it's not about who I am. I can sound off for about 20 minutes about the illiterate actor running for vice president. This is I just don't think he's say really weird stuff about her and say I'm Joe, but this is Rodney.
And this is Joe.
And this is Dean.
Dan Drew.
But we all sound alike at this point. We can't distinguish between. I call his mom all the time, like, I'm doing okay.
All right, I guess the first question's the obvious one. Why are you guys getting back together?
That is a good question. That's something I ask myself every day.
The quote for the Ruddles, who was it? What, for the cash? No.
Oh, yeah, for the cash is what I always tell, because it is for the cash. We've got a thing saying, hey, would you guys like X amount to play? And lo and behold, it was the right amount.
What did you say, Rodney? It used to be, here's X amount not to play.
Yeah, for the longest time, yeah, people would pay us not to play, but even not to rehearse. And then we couldn't play for a long time because we have restraining orders against each other. So it's kind of hard to play because we had to get within 1,000 yards of each other. There's, you know, restraining orders were. Which reminds me, I was going to see Sisters of Mercy on Halloween, and they have a restraining order against me. Well, there goes that.
Okay. But it's also very, very fun.
Is
I'm having a good time. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Just if you tell me when I'm having fun. I gotta stop speaking into the mic. It's a big mic. So hard not to do that.
And you guys are playing the First Unitarian Church October 26th, and then you're playing in Austin the first weekend of November, the Fun Fun Festival?
Yeah. Now, the First Unitarian Church show, we'll all be in Latin because it's a church show. Yeah.
November 8th.
Yeah. Now, we're doing Fun Fun. Fun
on November 8th, yeah.
But we've already told them in advance that we can only provide Fun Fest, max. Maybe not even that. Yeah. Okay Fest.
It's sort of okay.
It was
kind of a good
better
time
than we thought it was going to be, but it's no Nick Cage.
It's still three okays.
There's still three okays, yeah. We can provide three okays.
That equals at least one fun.
Yeah.
That's the higher math.
You're right, yeah. My God, you're right. Three okays to one fun, yeah.
Coincidentally enough, the night before the First Unitarian Church, some old friends of yours are playing at Johnny Brenda's. You want to talk about your relationship to Les Enfants de Prague?
Well, we have no friends. And as far as we thought they were Czechoslovakia's, well there's no more Czechoslovakia, it's Czech Republic. They're the Czech Republic's like number three Dead Milkmen cover band. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And they also, a lot of the show is Kafka-esque in the sense that they actually have the corpse of Franz Kafka with them. I want to see that, you know. Especially, you know, if there's going to be some of that corpse fun.
Animatronic effects.
Yeah, that's true. They should get, that would be Kafka-esque. They're having, actually, somebody's doing the trial that very day. Speaking of Kafka-esque, out on Delaware Avenue. That avenue where I got mugged on. We were talking about it earlier. It runs through
Washington.
Washington Avenue. No, Washington Avenue's not where I got mugged. It's where I sold the other car. Well, anyway, the avenue that runs out through West Philly, I always forget the name of it. Lancaster Avenue, I think it may be. Yeah. They're doing the trial. So if we're cool, we can play. We can run from there over and see the play. That'd be good.
And also, another legendary Philadelphia fan is getting together real soon. Yep. Any possibility of Dead Milkmen and the Hooters?
You know, I would in a minute because I actually have a melodica I play, and I felt I was a jerk to those guys. You know what I'm saying? Like they were, I was, you know, these guys were cool about it. So you have to understand, you have to draw a line. On this side of the room where these three are, they're musicians, they're artists, okay? I'm an entertainer, I'm a jerk, right? And so, like, they're content to like, you know, hey, maybe we have this really cool chord change here, you know, and that'd be really cool. And I'd say, hey, maybe what else we could do to entertain the audience is if I set one of the Hooters on fire. Wouldn't that be good? So yeah, I mean, I seem to remember
a wonderful story about visiting Studio 4. And
oh, no! With Schooly D. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, I forgot about that. God, thanks for reminding me of that painful thing. I got drunk one time. No, yeah, not one time.
Just once.
Yeah. I was at, remember, can't not for him. School Day was at the same studio I was hanging around there. Why was I there on my own? Because I'm a crappy musician. I guess
you were
doing
some remixes or something.
But yeah, okay, I guess I knew how to work the sampler or something. And I don't know why I was there. And maybe as a hostage or something. And Schooly D was there. Schooly D and I had a great idea, and I wish I followed it through, like to release this record together. Because at that point, rap was going kind of mainstream. So Schooly D, I had an idea to do a record where it's like family drives in from the burbs to see if they can meet rap stars. And it's like, you know, hey, you know, pulls over, excuse me, house boy. It takes him a while to go as he's trying to say homeboy. And he's like, you know, I'm looking for Schooly D. So Schooly D sends him up to like the Badlands. And he's like, he says, yeah, it's near where the Liberty Bell is. So knock on the door and say, crack. So we're having a good time drinking beer and coming up with what would have been the greatest idea ever, and I'd be a millionaire now.
That's quite a concept album.
Yeah, it would have been. Well, no, it's a little song, but you know, like I would get to play like the because Schooly D was saying he was like having these meetings with these record executives, and they were like, I really relate to your stuff, and so that's what we came up with. So we're getting blasted, and there's this Hooters like gold record on the wall. So I forget what I wrote on it, but it was absolutely filthy. I mean, I take out a marker, it's signed, right? So I sign it, you know. And then the next thing I know, it was like eight people from this record thing in there telling me, that's just not cool, man. And I'm like, but that's, yeah, thanks for reminding me.
So they're getting back together, really?
Yes.
I saw something about that. I wish them a lot of luck.
You know, they've always been huge over in Europe, I think.
Well, it's because European men are much smaller.
Oh, no.
It's
quite, right,
oh,
right,
I see.
Right.
You mean, I thought you meant like those emails
yeah,
I keep
right.
getting telling me I can be larger.
Oh, yeah. I had some songs about the band and stuff. You may learn about FOD and Mojo Nixon. How many kids you think you've influenced musically in that aspect? Also, over the years, how many kids you inadvertently killed from drinking bleach?
That's a good question. There we go. We should just ask Buck. Buck knows the answer to everything.
I'm at your service.
There we go. It was an interview thing. So just make up something to say. Buck's really cool. I did a free Buck. I was gonna say Buck plug, but that doesn't sound good. Oh, how many kids do we influence? I hope we influence none, because I like a different kind of music than this. I never meet anybody from like any industrial bands. It's really close.
I think I don't know. I've never heard of anybody drinking bleach, but I've gotten a few emails about kids who tried to smoke banana.
Yeah, I certainly hope we influence people to do that. Yeah.
Got sick. Yeah. And
you get a headache.
People don't drink bleach because of us. We did get one letter back in before email, but I think it was on us.
Somebody distantly related to Pablo Picasso, I think, did try to kill himself by drinking bleach at one
but
point, but they weren't a fan.
Himself.
Yeah, they weren't a fan. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And also, I always thought you guys had great love songs, you know, besides Punk Rock Girl, I Love You, I Hate You, Laundromat Song. If you love someone, set them on fire. Where's the sexual tension coming from?
Well, when you're younger and you're not very good with girls, you have an idea. Here's the best example I can give you. And again, it doesn't quite work as the evolutionary example because these guys do eventually mate. But for years, and you still see it on like going cruising down South Street, you'll see like a white stretch limo with 14 guys in the back. You know, come on, baby. Hey, baby. Come on, baby. At like every girl that walks by, you know. Like, I gotta get with you! And it doesn't work. It never. At no point has some girl ever said, my God, that's who I'm going to mate with. Yes, let me into that car. And because obviously, you know, girls can figure out, even the dumbest girls can figure out, if there's 14 of you in there, you all had to chip in, okay? It's one 14. Limo, stretch limo being shared by 14 guys. So the same thing with us. If you're trying to attract a mate, but you're not very good at it, what you're going to come up with is, if you love somebody, set them on fire. Like the Ramones, you know, you beat on the brat or you're going to kill that girl. You're going to kill that girl is a good example. You know, you miss the mark by a certain degree. That's why only half the band has children. You know, the lyric writing half of the band has not fathered any prodigy.
All right.
Well, maybe we should work at it harder.
If John McCain gets
elected, get a room, I don't know.
If you can't afford a room, just turn your head.
if John McCain gets elected, what are you gonna do?
Duck the flying pigs, because he's pretty far behind the polls right now. So.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he's not gonna get elected.
I hope he's not gonna get elected. There's still October, though. There could be an October surprise.
Yeah, but I'm the left of Barack Obama. So you could also say to me, you know, if Barack Obama gets, because Barack Obama's closer to John McCain politically than he is to me. But my party, the Green Party, is running a loon right now, which is Cynthia McKinney, who has to do all of her interviews from a padded cell. So, yeah. So I'd be happier with Obama. In fact, I'll probably vote for Obama. But because I think he's done a great job of actually taking, not attacking. He could have a lot of fun. He could point out the fact that Sarah Palin's husband belonged to a separatist party that, you know, in which the president of it said that he hates the United States and was sponsored when they spoke at the UN by Iran. He could bring that up. He doesn't. He could bring up the fact that John McCain's wife stole prescription medication from a children's charity ward. That's like literally taking candy from a baby, taking nose candy from a baby, okay? And then, so, but they don't, he doesn't, because he knows if you keep the level of discord this time, high this time, and you win, next time somebody has to raise that level. It has to be now all about substance and not about one's personal life, which means if you have a group that's intellectually bankrupt, they can't compete. It might take them another, before they have like another William F. Buckley, because he died, you know, but it might take the group a while before they have, you know, someone intellectual on that sort of intellectual level who can compete. I farted.
I remember this also. Who is Stephen Friend? I remember.
Stephen Friend. Yeah, Stephen Friend's a guy we all were really angry with.
He was a state legislator.
Yeah, even before D'Andrew was in the band, he hated him. Yeah, he was a state legislator who was highly. He was the Rick Santorum of his day. He was highly against abortion in the case of rape, because he said that women get raped, they excrete a chemical that keeps them from getting pregnant. Now this was oddly enough, when Nobel Medical Prize time came around, he was ignored. And I was shocked. But yeah, that's how bad he was. Pennsylvania should not be turning out people like this, and I don't know what part of the state they come from, but we need to sell that part of the state off. And we know they're not from around here, we know that.
Did you ever fight him?
Fight him? Did I offer to fight him?
On the live album, you...
guys have got to fill me in on this crap. These guys are always saying stuff. You know what you did, right? I'm like, no.
You challenged Stephen Friend to a fight, and the loser has to leave Pennsylvania.
Wow. Wow. Well, I guess I did, because he's not around. Because I'm doing this interview, and there's nobody interviewing him right now. You know, he's sitting there right now wondering, wrestling's supposed to be on now, but I don't see wrestling. I'm trying to change the channel, but there ain't no wrestling. He's not even a wrestling fan. He just likes men in little tight outfits. No, that's wrong. Stephen's not even cool enough to be gay. It's a certain, like Tim Gunn, there's a certain cool element. He doesn't even make that.
Well, while we're talking trash on public figures, do you want to discuss what happened on Club MTV?
Again, I'm sketchy. That was
Club
Chris.
MTV the Worms?
Yeah, that was Chris Kosha's fault. Yeah, we have a friend.
Oh, yeah,
is he still a comedian?
Oh, yeah, he's in Vegas right now.
Well, I guess you never stop being a comedian, but is he in Vegas doing an act?
Yeah.
Who's he opening for? Please don't say Siegfried.
Oh, I don't know. Siegfried. Yeah.
He went and got these fishing rubber worms.
Yeah.
He used fishing.
Yeah. He got
a whole bucket of it.
Not a bucket. He got a garbage bag full. He got like $300 worth of these rubber worms. Yeah.
He was stationed behind the stage while we were doing our lip syncing business, and he was throwing them above us.
Do you remember, Rodney? You requested a tuba.
Yeah, I'm so vague. I remember I was really, and probably still to this day, I was really attracted to downtown Julie Brown.
You handled yourself to her.
Yeah, well, wouldn't you?
She got really, really upset.
She got really upset.
They were throwing some back at us, but a lot of the dancers were collecting them.
Yeah, and throwing
them. They waited till she got out to do her business with us.
Yes.
At which time Rodney had planned to handcuff himself to her.
Oh, Jesus.
And for some reason, Rodney gave me the key, and it was in my pocket.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, no. It's all coming back. That's a good thing I don't have kids.
They threw the worms at her.
Yeah.
And
she wanted to go
off like it was cool. We didn't play.
Wasn't there a producer yelling at me? Because there was like this, like a little train going around. It was someone's hand in your pocket, and then me attached to them,
exactly.
And then you attached to and a producer screaming
pocket.
To unlock her. Yeah.
Anyway, this producer reached his hand in my pocket.
What are you doing?
Unlock Julie Brown.
How many times have we all said, I've got to unlock Julie Brown?
All that was edited out if you don't see it.
Yeah.
And then she got upset and ran away.
Yeah. We wanted to use the video in our DVD, but we couldn't get a hold of it.
It
so.
Wanted an ungodly amount of money. Us to pay them an ungodly amount of money.
Maybe we'll wind up on, Nick at Night has these, like, TV legend things, so maybe we'll wind up getting a telescope.
You know, if you go to the website, actually, I never took the video down off the website, so you can actually see it on the website.
Oh, you have the actual of her? Of
I think Joe ripped at least part of it. It's up there on the web thing.
Yeah, but we never, like I said,
we don't have
the broadcast part.
We don't have
the footage.
Oh, yeah, we don't have the other
footage. I wish we had that footage. Because I really was attracted to Julie Brown.
Now that you have the story,
I'd be watching that with one hand on the pause button if it catch my eye. She was wearing this like really cool like little chainmail outfit.
Well, here's a question for you, Roddy. What is she doing now? Anything?
I don't know. Yeah. But that's
okay.
A good question. Last I saw her was, there was this little, when David Spade used to do, who's not that funny, used to do some unfunny stuff on Saturday Night Live, he used to do this movie minute thing, and he flashed her picture and said, wubble, 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 my career's in trouble, trouble, trouble. And that was the last I saw her. It was like he predicted it, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up when I get home.
I think me and John both had the same question. What was your favorite album that you did?
I like Not Richard But Dick.
Yeah, I would say that's one of my favorites, too.
Yeah, that and Soul Rotation I like that. I like Soul Rotation because at that time, like, you know, grunge was coming out and we were going the total opposite direction. Don't ever be pioneers. A couple years after that, the X-Files was big, and I'm like, our songs are on the X-Files. Oh, no, it's other people doing songs like ours that we did a couple years ago. So, yeah, try not to be that far ahead of the curve.
But I, of course, still like Big Lizard.
I like that. And I guess
I like Big Lizard. I like Metaphysical Refugees.
That's a good question. What's
your
favorite?
Sunshine starts it.
That's a good song.
I'm Crazy Shana, which
that's a good song.
Rodney found out the National Review online.
Yeah, that was hilarious. The National Review. Somebody did a research project.
There were two professors at Columbia. And it actually turns out the guys from Shana Na were all grad students at Columbia, so they came up with Shana Na, and they basically took our theory that Shana Na had shaped history. And they actually ran with it. It turned out, basically Shana Na reinvented the 50s. Before Shana Na appeared at Woodstock, they'd only done like one or two other gigs. They were put on this kind of like a joke, and they won everybody over. They had reinvented the 50s. They were, one of them was sitting in a, they were like a regular a cappella group, and they were called Shana Na. And one of them was sitting in a classical studies class, and this professor was reading The Glory That Was Greece, G-R-E-E-C-E. And he thought, wait a minute, G-R-E-A-S-E, The Glory That Was Greece, and he started thinking about like the 50s, and before that, the 50s, everybody who was involved in the 50s thought of the 50s the way, the McCarthy era, you're sitting in a bomb shelter, they were considered a very unpleasant time. They reinvented them, and reinventing the 50s, you got the nostalgia for like Happy Days, American Graffiti, and then what happened was America became nostalgic for the 50s and wound up electing Ronald Reagan. So you could say that Shana Na, and no, I agree with the argument. Shana Na were basically the fathers of the Republican Revolution. I'm serious. So are they. We should all be doctor in front of our name because we gave them their little theory.
What are some stuff that you guys are listening to right now?
Combi Christ, Angel Spit, Suicide Commando, Nick Cave's new one, which is Dig Lazarus Dig, which is fantastic. Still listen to the Grinder Man CD every day. You know, I get up and I will play Get It On as loud as I can. Should have done that for your birthday. Birthdays. I should have called you up and played Get It on the day you were born. What else have I heard lately? I listen to a lot of stuff.
I've been listening to the Marked Men.
Good call.
The Marked Men.
Not the
Houston.
Check them out.
The Tough Shit here in Philadelphia.
I haven't heard that.
Oh, they're awesome. They're like, they're retro kind of, but, you know, modern in their kind of way. They're kind of funny.
They're modern retro.
Modern retro. Like, they're the Shana Na of.
Redefined.
They're redefining the psychedelic 60s. Anyway.
As an unpleasant era.
I like that King Kong and Barbecue Show, all the King Kong stuff.
Spoon,
yeah.
I like Spoon.
Yeah,
Bumble and Stingers.
Bumble and the Stingers.
Wow, best name ever.
Yeah. Well,
next
they're an old
band. They're from the
70s.
Next to Teenage Maybe Train Enthusiasts.
Yeah, classical music, but you know, sort of rock or rock building.
Kind of like ragtime.
Ragtime.
Oh, Funker Ball, too. There's Navigator record. I forgot about that. I want to get a big plug for that because I really like that record a lot. I went to a period where I wouldn't listen to anything else.
You're listening to WKDU Philadelphia 91.7 FM.
Now I have some questions just for Dandrew here. Well, I think you're actually the tallest member of the band, so you get the main focus.
That's like being the tallest midget porn star.
Well, I am on top of this.
But
there we go.
So, how did you get involved with playing the Dead Dog Band?
Well, I was playing on a street corner, and the three of them were walking around looking for a bass player. And I was actually playing a ukulele, but four strings. So they were like, oh, can you play this bigger thing with four strings? I said, sure.
It's Megalele.
Mega.
How is playing with the Dead Milk Man?
It's pretty good.
You know, it's no harder than beating me or nothing.
I can't complain, yeah.
You feel any intimidation, fear?
We're actually scared of him.
Music's good.
Yeah, him, it's all fun. No, they're all laid back, cool guys. So, yeah.
Dodge that bullet.
That's because we're in the room.
Is that thing still on?
No, the man's out of the room. Those assholes. Oh, that's going to get cut, isn't it?
More than likely.
I was going to be trying to midget porn star reference.
That was a band name.
See, all the other midget porn stars might look up to you, but to the rest of the world, you're just a freak with a cock in your mouth. That's how it's like being the world's tallest midget porn star.
That might go in here.
I'll probably go through.
You can say cock. Bleep midget.
You can say cock. Yeah, that's
But in reference to, there's a cockfight for it. Yeah. You can't actually.
The West Philadelphia cockfight scene.
Oh!
Alright. John, any more questions?
Just a couple questions. Favorite show you've ever played?
Oh, jeez.
House. It's by far. I got the DVD that I played at the other
favorite show you've ever played?
Yeah, yeah, the House. I played the show on DVD player. House okay. Is my favorite show indeed. I had one for years. It's funny you mention that. I had it because I'm stalling if I have a chance to think. I had one for years. Like, that was the best show we ever played. I would give it, it was a horrible show, but it was the night I got my first and only tattoo, and it was in, not Sacramento, but it's like Sacramento. It's one of those towns that's Sacramento-esque. It was Sacramento. And but it was oversold, and I had the tattoo, and my sweat was pouring into it. I felt like someone was taking a hot match and everything. And the sound was awful, and this wasn't my favorite. Crap show, come to think of it. And then I went back to the hotel that night, and I had the tattoo, and there were the naked women in the pool, and I couldn't go swimming because I had the tattoo. Yeah. That was awful. So everything that's since that has been my favorite show, every other show.
Good one.
What was your favorite
I like our return to Philadelphia show, which was at Pileia, not the time that the four played on it, from the return from our first tour.
That was a good one. I like that one.
Because we had been away for like 2 months straight, which was really nice.
Yeah.
And it was just great to be back home, and a lot of people came down. It was just fun.
I can't remember. I probably have a few, but one I remember. You actually have the bootleg on your site, the one from L.A. We played with the Vandals and
that was a good show.
Oh, that was a good one.
That was at the Roxy.
Yeah, it was at the Roxy. That was a really fun show.
And we did well too.
And we played well. Well, and I was wearing bright yellow socks, and Moon Unit Zappa was backstage.
Oh, I remember that.
She admired my socks, and
yeah.
I was pretty pleased about that.
And Rick Rubin was there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rick Rubin was there.
That was a good show. All right, I'll give you that one. And then I am
like one
of our shows that you played with us, both of them. Those two shows you played with us, can you pick a favorite show?
This is the voice of God.
The second the first
show. First show was sad.
Yeah,
second
you know
show
the
was
second
better.
Show,
first show, by the time we got the second show, we had it was good. cathartic.
Well, I drank a beer before the second
show.
Oh,
I lost my voice. I couldn't. The next day, people were calling me, but such a like. And they're like, well, what are you wearing? Oh, God almighty. Calls out. I'm like, oh, I've got a laundry issue now. It was a pig farm. It was an actual pig farm. And some guy had gone out and spray painted white supremacy and misspelled supremacy. And I was like, excuse me, Mr. Pride of the Area Youth Movement, misspelled supremacy. And he's like, I meant to. It's parody. I go with it. Yeah.
This is also out in the middle of nowhere. If you looked across the field, there was the porn drive-in porn movie, so you could see like giant porn action going on across the field.
Yeah, so this may be, from my perspective, my favorite show. Free porn on a big screen. Yeah.
Yeah, the louder you play, the dimmer the lights got. It was like, everything was plugged into one.
Oh, God, yeah.
Ran into the farmhouse.
Oh, well, I know we played somebody's basement on that tour, and oh, God,
yeah. All right, that's
painful flashbacks. Yeah, I start to cry. Yeah, that's our.
We might decide not to do these shows.
Yeah, I know. I'm already thinking of ways to get out of it. I understand they're having like Phillies night at Johnny
Brenda's.
Well, we're not playing Johnny Brenda's. What?
You're going to have to announce the score from the
stage. I didn't even know who the Phillies are. I'm vague on that. I know nothing about sports. Again, these are the guys that beat me up in high school. You want me to help them with their post-secondary career? Come on, fellas. Get out there and swing those bats, because they're not swinging me for a change.
I believe they're a cricket team.
They probably are. If they were a cricket team, I'd follow it. But I don't know how that's going to work out. Well, thank God we're not playing that show. That's a cover band.
One more question, which is, I believe fans of Dead Milkmen and Superchunk have been asking themselves for years. So, does that Johnny Worcester kid actually smoke crack?
No, it doesn't, but last time I saw him, he was on the Conan O'Brien show just like Frankenstein. They used to do this thing called Johnny was writing for the Conan O'Brien show, and they would do a thing called Frankenstein, waste a minute of your time. And so, let me tell you this much. If you drink as much as I do, and you've got, I don't really take drugs anymore, I've taken drugs in years, but I still have a lot of residual stuff in my system. And if you're on the sort of stuff that I'm on, okay, like the only thing I wasn't on was Flintstone chewable vitamins. If you're on that much stuff, when you see one of your friends on TV dressed like Frankenstein, you're not sure how real that is. There's that moment of doubt there, you know what I mean? It's just like, oh my God, because then you gotta like start, turn to the cat. He asks the cat a couple questions. If it doesn't answer you back, that's really happening. So, again, it was Bob Forrest, who played with Thelonious Monster. I was watching this show with Dr. Drew, Celebrity Rehab, and they bring out this guy to help them go through rehab, and it's Bob Forrest. And they're like, he's the best substance abuse counselor we've ever had. And I'm like, I'm shaking my head. That's my friend Bob on TV. So, I guess, yeah, Johnny Worcester in a Frankenstein suit versus Bob helping people. Oh, we got the sound. I told you never to call me at the office. But, shots-wise, I don't know. We've also seen other people we know pop
I've only seen Johnny when he was on Conan, when he was filling in for Max Weinberg, and the drummer. And
I never saw
Max Weinberg stood up from the audience and shot Johnny.
Oh, man. I'd have loved to have seen that one. Damn it. The people in our song always going to be more famous than our song. The monkey that was in our video for Smoking Banana Peels went on to work with Dustin Hoffman and had a regular gig on Friends for a couple years. I was like, my God, the monkey's pulling down like six figures a year. The monkey was a consummate professional. All right, we've held these gentlemen too long.
I have one more question.
You have one more?
Did you ever go to make a pork sausage and find it's got hairs growing all over it?
I'm a vegetarian. I've been a vegetarian for about 20-some years. But before that, I used to eat all sorts of crap. These guys will back me up on it. But the Jimmy Dean pork sausage thing comes from an old SCTV sketch where they had these two guys who were talking about the grades of meat. And they said there's grade A, grade, and they start going down the list, right? You get down to your grade D, after that, everything else has to go in the head cheese. Anything else they find on the floor goes in the Jimmy Dean pork sausage. And they go, we're just kidding, Jimmy Dean. And I was watching at the time, I remember like people, kids I grew up with, And their parents would make them like Jimmy Dean pork sausages and crap like that. And I was just like, I'm sure my mom probably tried to pass that crap off on me. I knew, you know, kids that kept kosher, they ate those things, you know. eat it anyway, yeah. Not during Yom Kippur, you can eat it then. Muslim kids, they love Jimmy Dean pork sausage. But no, I've never actually gone to eat one of those and seen a hair. Did we say Jimmy Dean pork sausage?
No, you just say
I just say pork sausage.
It's from it's made up as a
graffiti.
Really? It's from those little Earl things, right?
We call them Earls, Yeah.
It's coming back to him, man.
Yeah, you gotta understand. I've been, busy. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so the answer is I never did. I wish I did.